this Mass is being offered for the intentions thereof of the angel family, and particularly those who have been deceased and predated us in the faith. Fabian tells me I need to tell you something about St. Agnes. Is that correct? St. Agnes? Do you remember St. Agnes? St. Agnes? I don't know your name. What's your name? Yeah. Augie. Yeah. That's close to Agnes. That's close to Agnes. It starts with the first same letter, right? Yeah. Yeah. So what I want to do is share with you something. Well, one, first, it's great to be back here. And it's a lot cooler than it was last year. And even as it was last time we were here, you did a great job cleaning everything up. The only thing that you didn't clean up was the flies that are in the air that somehow keep attacking us here. But I don't think you can do anything about
that. They weren't here that day.
They didn't come that day when you cleaned. I'm sure. They probably came in because it was so nice and clean. They wanted to move out into something that was nice. Thank you so much for that. Now, St. Agnes is an amazing saint, and you look like you're probably about 8 years old. Okay. And your sister looks like she's about 10 or 11. Which one? 11 or 10? Thought so. 11. St. Agnes is older than you by a year when she testified to her love of God before all people with her blood. She was so young. So young. Think of that. Think of your sister right there, Augie, being so full of God's power and His strength and confidence in His goodness that she would stand before not just a group of 23 individuals, not just before a group of 50, or as you'll see at the parade today, maybe 100, or maybe if you'd look at all those who would be gathered around that lake this weekend, about 2,000 or so, even greater than that, to stand in front of a crowd much larger than that and say, even though you all think that my faith is hogwash, is nonsense, I'm willing to die for my Lord. I'm willing to die. And all the ridicules that everybody else puts against me, bring it on, because I am espoused, wed, promised, I'm engaged, like a man engages to a woman in marriage. I'm engaged to none other but Christ Jesus Himself. My body will only be meant to glorify Him. My life will only be meant to be shared with Him. My bed will never be shared with anybody else but Him. She's a very beautiful lady, just like your sister, just like your sister. And so to be very much desired of by all these powerful people who said, I want her. She said no. She said no, I belong to God. And because of this, the wicked ones around her thought that they could somehow be able to push her away from God and to give in to this man who really wanted her to be her husband, or to be her wife, rather, for him to be her husband. Said, if I accuse her of a crime that has the penalty of death, maybe then she'll run to me because she's just a little girl. She's afraid of even a pinprick, maybe. This week, did you maybe get a paper cut or fall down and skin your knee? No, but have you done so in the last year? Yeah. And when it happened, did you sort of go, ah, no big deal, just run off and rub it in the dirt and go on forward? A little bit, maybe not, maybe not. No, you cried, right? You screamed maybe a little bit when it hit. That's normal. That's normal. That's an absolutely normal thing. Well, that's what they thought, because she's just a little one, that even a pinprick would scare this little girl off, because she's just a little girl. And so she began to stand in front of them, and she said this, and I'll read you the quotation from her own words. This is way back, I think it was in the second century that she was there. Second century, third century. Fabian will correct me if I'm wrong at some point. So a really, really long time ago. This is like 1800 years ago or so, 1700 years ago. And she said to those who were around her before the emperor, she said, even though you're not only going to harm me in some sort of way, first, you're going to strip me to where I don't have any clothes on and embarrass me in front of all these people in that way to show that very thing which I want to hold sacred between me and God. She said, Christ will guard His own. Quoting from scripture, Christ will protect His own in this way. And so when they did so, that great indignity of stripping of all of her garments, what happened? All the people, even though they weren't even Christians, they were pagans, seeing this young girl of 12 years old disheveled in that way, what do you think they did? They turned their back because they were embarrassed, as all of us should be, to see a young one treated in such a way. All turned their backs and said, I can't look on this. That's not right. That's not right. So they turned their back in modesty. Even those who weren't Christians did this, mind you. Except for one young man. There was one young man who looked at her and saw that she was beautiful and saw that she was desirous to be a wife of his in this way, and reaching toward her, not with his body, but with his eyes. As he looked upon her, do you know what happened to that young man? Remember the story? You're right. Even what you mouthed right there was correct. He was struck blind in that moment. A great flash of light shot it out so that everybody could see it, not just this man. A great flash of light hit, and he himself was no longer able to see from that moment on for the rest of his life. Was blind. What did she say? Do you remember what she said? Augie, say it with me. God will guard his own. Say it with me. God will guard his own. Say it with me one more time. God will guard his own. God guards his own. He protects his own in this way. And this young girl who had such profound faith in God that she was going to be espoused to her, this when she was just a little tiny girl, barely older than your sister, barely older than your sister, said, God will guard his own even if you strip me. And what did he do? He guarded her, protected her. Everybody else turned away in shame, except for the one who wished to attack her in this way. And so God guarded his own. We'll talk about that in just a moment at the end, the sermon I was actually going to give you before Fabian interrupted us. So there, that happened. And then she went before, went all the still further before them. Even at this miraculous sight, nobody thought, well, now I'm going to turn away and not accuse her of being a Christian, not accuse her in this way that she'll have to testify to her life. No, we all the more we want to go against her. And so she went before it, and after saying those words, her last bit was her fidelity to Christ was proved that by these offers of marriage. If you just give into marriage with this one guy, we'll let this slide. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. We'll say that you did something different. You don't even have to do the thing of offering incense in this way. You don't even have to turn on God. We'll just say that something happened right there and it was all right, and all the people around here will be appeased, and you just go off and marry this guy. Don't be married to the Lord. Just be married to this guy right here, and you can go on just as you were before. But she answered, saying this, Christ alone is my spouse. He chose me, and I will be his. And after standing in front of all those people right there, how old was she again? 12 years old, yeah, just a little bit older than your sister. At 12 years old, standing in front of this great crowd, said that, and they passed the sentence of death on her. And the whole time, she stood erect, just like I am, and standing just like Fabian normally stands, with his back straight when he's paying attention, and his hands folded in prayer. Hands folded in prayer. As they began to pass that death sentence, she bowed her neck to the sword as that huge man was there to sever her head from her body in this way, and with one stroke severed her head from her body. But then the angels bore her most pure soul into paradise. And from that very day, Christians from around the world have venerated this young woman who stretched out her neck as Saint Inez, Saint Agnes. And what does Agnes mean? You know, what does Agnes mean? Anybody but Fabian? What does Agnes mean? That's right. Agnes means a lamb. A lamb. And so she was the pure lamb who died for the pure lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he took her verily to himself, straight to himself. So what do we find out about this story? The story hits a very strong connection to our gospel, actually. In our gospel, Saint Agnes say? Remember when she was about to be stripped? Do you remember what she said? What did she say? God will guard his own. And what was she doing? She was saying something to the people, but who was she really saying things to? That's right. So that's what prayer is. And isn't that gospel all about prayer? It's all about prayer. He says, if you ask anything in my name, you've never asked, he says to his disciples, you've never turned to God and asked anything for it in my name, the name of Jesus Christ. The disciples had never done that before. But he said, now, anything that you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. I will make sure that it itself is indeed accomplished. And so when you and I ask for prayers, what does it mean? St. Augustine tells you and me that anything that we ask for in prayer, that there's a general rule for prayer. And this is it. This is the one rule for prayer that St. Augustine gives us. In other places he gives other ones, but here's one for our intention today. He says, whatever it is lawful for a person to desire, then it's lawful for you to pray for. Do you know what that means? What does it mean to say, if it's lawful to desire, it means it's something you can lawfully pray for. So, can I pray for that man who shot up that school the other day, that boy, to go to hell? No, because that's not lawful, is it? That's not loving. Yeah, I can't pray for something like that. Can I pray for somebody who's just a really bad man somewhere in the world who's torturing and doing all sorts of evil things? Can I pray that he would be utterly destroyed and killed? That his life would end, that he would be horribly mangled and tortured? No, you can't do that, right? So, but you can pray, can I pray, Lord God, give me $1 million? Yes, I can. I can. Lord, give me $1 million so I can give it right back to you. I won't touch a cent. You give it to me, I'll give it right back to you. So that would be lawful, right? To what you're praying there, enrich me, O Lord, so that I can only enrich you. So I can give it back to you. And you can, your people can do whatever it is that they need. I don't need anything. I barely even have sandals on my feet. But Lord, you give me that $1 million, it goes right back to you. Whatever it is that you want. So if it's a lawful thing for something for you to ask for, could you ask for your grandma to get better if she's sick? Yeah, you can. Can you ask for your sister to do well in school? Can you ask for that? Yeah, Could you ask for your father to find a good job? Could you ask that people in the world will have a deep and profound respect for life such that there won't even be a desire for the horrible, wicked act of abortion anywhere in the world, so it doesn't even have to be in our laws? Can we pray for that? Yes, and we should. Yes, and we should. All these things are the truth. So those are things that you can ask for. If you can desire it without sin, then you can pray for it and trust it to God. But when we ask for things in this way, St. Augustine says that when we pray for it the same way, that we shouldn't just ask that, but just like I said at the end when I talked about $1 million, what did I say? Give me $1 million. I said, but after it, but your will be done, right? Whatever it is that you want, God. Because you want something that's better than me. Every prayer we make always is two prayers. Did you know that? Every prayer that we pray always is two prayers. Now, Fabian doesn't know this. He's never heard this before. So I'm going to teach him as well. So every prayer you pray is two prayers. The first prayer is, God, give me the thing that I want. Right, that makes sense, right? I'm praying for whatever it is that I'm praying, for somebody to get better, for Max to be big and strong and to go forward and to do great things and to be able to encourage my dad. That's something that I can pray for because my dad really likes Max and is encouraged anytime he gets to spend time with Max. So Max, you should ask my dad to spend time with you because he wants to. So do it. That's a little thing on the side. So we can ask for these things, but as I'm doing that, there's another prayer that's hidden there. What, do you know what that prayer is? Saying, God, give me happiness. Because everything that you're asking for in prayer, everything has a, underlying it, I just want to be happy, God. I want to be fulfilled. Everything you ask for, when you ask your mom for some money for an allowance so that you can do something, what are you asking for? I want that. I want to do something with it. But really what I want is that experience of happiness, of joy, of fulfillment, of something that I feel that I lack, that that money or that allowance is going to be able to fulfill when I get that thing. When I'm asking for somebody, my grandma, to be healthy in some sort of way, what I'm asking for is, God, heal her in this way so that she gets better, and I know that I need my grandmother to be happy. So don't take my grandmother away from me right now. That's what I'm asking for. In everything that you ask for, there's always that plea, God, give me this, but really what I need most, I really want to be happy. Really want to be happy. And so when we do that, we recognize that God is a good father. And if the very thing that we're asking for is asked for in the wrong way, or the very thing that we ask for isn't going to bring us happiness, or the very thing that we have there isn't going to fulfill the real need that we have within our soul, it's implicit within it, God, your will be done, so you give me the thing that I actually need. You give me something that's better, that will actually make me truly happy in this way. Because you can see all of eternity, and you know how all things work out. So God, give me the thing that will ultimately make me happy, even if it's not the thing that I think it is. That's really what we're praying for in prayer. And so put aside all that skepticism that comes around within our lives when we think, well, have you ever heard anybody say, well, what does it matter to pray? There's something in the news that was really irking me this weekend. Hopefully this isn't offensive to you. But you probably heard this on the news. You hear it every time there's some great tragedy that's going on, just like happened this week. They say, enough with the thoughts and prayers. Enough with the thoughts and prayers. They don't do anything. You heard that this week? Heard people talking about enough with the thoughts and prayers? What they're saying is that prayers don't affect anything. That prayers are not helpful. Throw away that skepticism that is there. That says, that does God really answer prayer? Because what does he say within the scriptures? He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. I will accomplish it in accordance with my most high and divine will. Who is God? But he is eternal truth. He is truth itself. Can God lie? Augie, can God lie? Augie can't. God can't lie. Joe, can God lie? He can't lie. God is not able to lie in any way. He's not able to lie in these things. And so he says, ask. Ask and you shall receive. He says, seek and you will find. He says, knock and that door will be open up to you. For whatsoever you ask, you will receive. For whatever you seek, you will find. And when you knock, the door shall be open to you. That's what God says. He says it in the Gospel of John. And so because of that, St. John Chrysostom, one of the really great old super smart bishops of the early centuries, said this. He said, he who has redeemed you, asks you to continue on in your prayers with perseverance. To pray and keep praying and keep praying is what he's saying. Continue on, he said, he wants you to ask and to receive from what is his goodness because he wants to give it to you. Because he wants to give it to you. So then he says, gladly should you accept this encouragement from the Lord himself that he gives you. He says, ask because he wants to give in this way. That's what God is saying within this. St. Augustine says the same thing, and he says, God would not encourage you to pray if he wasn't willing to give. I'll say that again. God wouldn't ask you to pray if he wasn't already willing to give. He's so willing to give. He is the one who possesses all things, and he knows what is ultimately necessary for your happiness. And even when you go through your life and you say, this is the thing that I want, this is the thing that I need, this is the thing that will make me most fulfilled in this way, so God, give it to me. What is that second request that we're making? You remember that? We're saying, God, do what? God, that's right. God, make me happy. God, make me really happy. God, make me happy in a way that can't be taken away. That's what we're really praying for. And so God says, ask for it. And so he's saying, ask me to make you happy. Ask me to make you fulfilled. Ask me to make you know that you're totally and completely taken care of and can make it through this present sorrow that you're going through within this present life so you can make it to the ultimate joy that I prepared for you. Just ask it, because I already want to give it to you. Just persist in acting so you can really be ready to receive what it is that it will ultimately give you the happiness that I have indeed prepared for you. Didn't a little girl ask for that? What was her name? That's right, St. Agnes. What did she ask for? When they were trying to strip off all of her clothes and embarrass her, what did she say? God will guard his beloved ones, his chosen ones, his saints, the ones that he cares for. And what happened? God guarded them. She said, God is my spouse and I will take no other, and he will carry me to himself. And what happened? Even when the stroke of the blade was lifted high by the executioner and fell down upon her young 12-year-old precious neck, what happened? Exactly. Her body was left down below, and her soul was carried by the angels to the very presence of God. And that's why we celebrate this Mass today. And indeed, that's why we have this beautiful chapel here today. And that's why the family angel is here today, asking that God will, just as he took that soul by his angels into heaven, that he will take our souls, we who are angels, or at least close to the angels, to the very same place. Ask, and you will receive it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.